Lord, we're an offering to you.
And we think about all those big words we use, you know, the justification and the sanctification, glory of God. We're right in this sanctification, crisis and process. Right in here is where we, Lord, I'm pouring myself out for you. I want to be wholly yours. And you know Philippians chapter 3. Jacob read the passage just a few moments ago. You've heard those words and you get that whole sense of who we are in the physical, yet, you know, we're spiritual beings and we're different. You know, the Spirit guides the flesh instead of the other way around, because the Spirit is, because we're an offering run by the Holy Spirit instead of us just determining everything in our lives. So I came up with this little catchphrase title, and I got one text message back about this, about the title of the message this morning, Who Sets the Agenda? And of course, you know, that is talked about in political terms. You know, from the minute there's an election, there's an agenda. Or wherever you go, there's an agenda. We get ready to go out to eat as a family, there's agendas at play. You know, small, big, medium, large. You know, and who sets the agenda? And for men and women who follow Jesus, it must be the Holy Spirit. It must be the Father. It must be the Son that sets the agenda. And so much of the time we tend to regain control, and I want to set that agenda. I want to be in control. And the verses here in Philippians kind of point us in a direction. Interesting. You ever read Judges 3:31? Remember Shamgar? Do you remember him killing the people? Remember they had a situation where the children of Israel had to go on the back roads because they were laying in wait and taking and killing people on the main roads. They were taking everything from them. And this guy killed 6,000 Philistines. Do you remember that story? And he killed them. And I was thinking about being goal-oriented. What is your goal? What is the goal you have? Is the goal you have to build a group of people? Is the goal you have to build a name? Is the goal you have to build a church? All those goals are not proper goals. Do you have the goal of being an offering to the Lord Jesus Christ? Developing a healthy perspective on life and not going off your faulty memory that I have said that might be a start on that. One of the things we do every July 1st or December 31st is we start making resolutions. This is what I plan to do this year. And it usually revolves around something health. Wise, because we've been a glutton for 2 weeks, we say, I'm going to go on a diet or whatever it might be. I'm going to make my bed every day, you know, because most of us probably do that, whatever the goal might be. And about, you know, after 3 or 4 days, we're already struggling with fulfilling that. And when we set goals that are our goals, we always struggle with fulfilling those goals. I plan to save for retirement. And sometimes we do, and sometimes we plan, and we plan, and we plan, and we plan, but we never get around to fulfilling the plan. I'm the best list maker in the world. I keep little index cards, and I can make a list with the best of them. I make beautiful lists, too, to-do lists, and I have all those things out there. And if you come back at the end of the day, and about a quarter of those are scratched through, the others go to the list for the next day. And I'm the world's best at thinking tomorrow is the big day. Everything's going to happen tomorrow. It's all going to fall in place tomorrow, you know. And he's sitting here really kind of helping us define success. And it says in verse 4, though myself have reasons for confidence in the flesh, and if anyone has confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, the whole nine yards. And Paul said, I have all reason to have confidence that my flesh, that my keeping of the law, everything about me is going to get me on the good side of the Lord. Everything that I've done, every external thing you see in my body makes me better than the rest of you. Therefore, since I'm leader of the pack, he's got to accept me. But then he goes on to say, if anyone thinks he has confidence in flesh, I have more circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted for loss for the sake of Christ. Now, I'm going to tell you, we start getting our filthy rags and we bag those things up and we think this is going to earn, you know, I'm standing on my record here and the scales of justice will tip my way. We see that in society. If I can just do this, it'll skip the scales of justice my way. But when we define success like that, we're standing, we're on a faulty ladder. Or as I heard it put years ago, you know, you climb the ladder of success only to find the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. You know, and we get there sometimes and we're in the wrong spot. And I found myself there many times because I win the argument in the family. I have an agenda and I've won the argument. And I look around though and nobody's happy with me. You know, we have agendas even in our own, you know, like Christy and I at night. Okay, there's blankets and there's not blankets and there's fan and there. How do we keep the temperature in the room? Anybody have those issues? Who's going to win these agendas? And sometimes you can win but lose. And when you have the heart of God, though, everybody wins because things are not self. It is for the Lord. In verse 7 there, what's important in life? Paul's reflecting on life, you know, and the statement, you know, really, as I think about life, it kind of hits me between the eyes a little bit. And he's, you know, when he starts talking about, you know, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews from the tribe of Benjamin. I had it all. I had all the credentials. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Under the law, I'm blameless. I even persecuted Christians. I was that guy. And my question to us is, are we that guy in our own eyes? Or have we totally submitted and surrendered to the Lord? I am nothing before you, Lord. I come to you as nothing, and everything that I am is what you made me to be. I am down, so you build me up. There's an old song, Audio Adrenaline. Of course, here I am going off memory again. Audio Adrenaline sang a song. What was it? I'm a little man. The song was, I'm a little man. I have made myself small so that you can make me big. And sometimes Christy, you know, comes to me and she helps remind me. She says, you know, there are times that I have gotten way in front of myself. And I've self-promoted. I'm not a promoter. When I was in my 20s, I guess I was a kid back then. But yeah, I was young and I used to be a sales type person. And people would say, you know, you could sell, you know, ice to Eskimos and all that, this, that, and the other. And I started realizing a little bit that there was a natural tendency to sell. And I came to the place and said, Lord, I want to let my salesmanship diminish because I don't want to just rope somebody into something. I want to share the truth and allow the truth to do the work. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the work. Right up front when we were married, Christy reminded me. She said, now I want to tell you something because I was running around trying to fix her. And she says, as far as I know, I've read Scripture. I've studied it. I've been praying about this thing. And I find nowhere that you are my Holy Spirit. And that kind of changed things. I said, but I'm doing His work. And she reminded me that the Holy Spirit does the conviction in my life. Not you. And priorities are based on where you want to go in life. Political priorities are based on who knows what. Sometimes they're good priorities, sometimes they're not. Sometimes we see people and they bring pork back to a district in order to gain votes. Not really to help people, they're really to gain votes. We get all that. But in verse 8, I see some other words here that I think are pretty fascinating. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus my Lord. For His sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. I love to hear people, I don't care from what walk of life, but since I'm in the sports world quite a bit, I hear a lot of guys from the sports world. And you hear people give glory to the Lord and thank the Lord. And I'm great with that. And some people that I know do that. And I thank the Lord for the testimony. But I have seen people on a losing side at times give glory to the Lord. You know, we lost this game today. We lost this championship. We came in second. But I want to say, I still give glory to the Lord. I want to give, you know, because the Lord receives glory for all things. And I like that. And sometimes in my own mind, I need to bundle up a lot of things. I need to count these things as loss. You know, it may be health. You know, you've had good health. All of a sudden, health is not what it once was. And you get shaken a little bit about that. And say, you know, I want to even take my physical health here and say, Lord, I put that on the altar. I'm not given to the God of health. That's not an idol in my life. It might be marriage, and sometimes in marriage, you're on the mountaintop and you're eating popsicles and riding through the countryside with the wind blowing in your hair. And sometimes it's like, you know, grinding through the city because you have these ups and downs. And in those times, I said, Lord, having the perfect marriage is not an idol to me. I want to have a godly marriage. It doesn't have to look like Ward and June Cleaver. I want to have a godly marriage. It doesn't matter, you know, what the world thinks of this. And, you know, and I don't want to ask this question. I know some of us are like-minded on anxiety and other issues, but I'm also at this, and I want to see if anybody else is like this. Is anybody else a procrastinator? Am I the only one in the room? Okay, there you go. Procrastinate, you know, that whole thing, I believe if anything was worth doing, it would have already been done. I shall never move quickly except to avoid more work and find excuses. You know, I live in that area sometimes. And I am constantly coming up with tremendous ideas. And, you know, 2 years later, somebody patents that. I said, you know, I thought about that. I had a guy Friday night. We're getting dressed to go out on the field to officiate. And I was asking about you, and but we carry bean bags and penalty flags. Bean bag is where you mark a fumble and so forth. And bean bags are nylon generally, and they get dirty, and you have to keep washing them, and they get faded. And but some people have this plastic exterior which you simply wipe off. And I said, where did you get that? I'm looking for one. And he told me he ordered it online somewhere. And another guy piped up and he said, you know, I'm in process of making a synthetic flag so that the flags don't get dirty and you have to keep replacing the flag. And I said, boy, that's a good idea. And I told him my story. I said, you need to get on that because you know how it is. 2 years from now, somebody will come out with that and you say, I thought about that. I say that, and it's kind of funny. We understand where we're going. But, you know, time is pretty much now. The Bible says, and it's something I've been doing lately. I'm not good at this. I mean, I'm honest with you. I'm not good at this, but I'm practicing my first thought, the first part of the day, being toward the Lord. I wake up in the morning not thinking about all the stuff, but say, Lord, I want to be a steward of the first thought of the day. And one thing I've been going through is repeating again and again, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. But I've been concentrating on the word this. This day. This day. Today's day, what's today, the 13th? This day, the Lord has made. This day, we're in relationship with one another. This day, we can talk about our issues. This day, we meet new friends. This day. And it's amazing how you start to see the Lord paint the picture of the day. Now, we plan for tomorrow, but God orders our steps. But instead of just living for Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or whatever big event's coming, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice in this day. Whether today's day is full of bologna sandwiches or you have a filet, whatever it might be. Priorities are based on where you want to go in life. You tend to do the things where your heart is. I think there's a scripture about that, right? Your treasure is where your heart is. And sometimes we see treasure in misplaced spots because the heart has been led in the wrong direction by our own desires, our own deceptions. Second thing here, we need to develop goals and habits that help us achieve what the Lord wants us to achieve. Now, I'm bad. I have bad habits, and it's hard to develop good habits. I told the group Wednesday night about the Reese's peanut butter cups. They are finally gone. Now, Thursday, I said, you know, let's clean these things out. And here's the whole story. It was Halloween, and, you know, I was out. I called Chris. I said, I guess we ought to get candy, because if we don't get candy, we're going to have trick-or-treaters. If we get candy, we have none. And they had a special at Publix, you know, you buy one, get one free. I thought, anyways, buy three, get one free. And I got big bags of Reese's peanut butter cups and Kit Kats. And I came home and dumped those things in a bowl. And I looked at that big bowl full of candy and I said, you know, I know what's going to happen. One here, one there, one here. And I developed a plan. I said, what I'm going to do is I'm going to eat one and throw one away. And I did that the first day, and then I started thinking about the poor kids in India and the whole nine yards, you know, and how you can't waste food. And I said, that's not a good route. And it was, you whittle down and you start rationalizing. And I was sitting in the easy chair and I was thinking, okay, those are just in the next room. I can't smell them. It's not like a barbecue joint with a, and but I was drawn to my, and I'm going to say it, my very simple, very, my lust, my desires. Let me go eat one. Let me go eat another. And sometimes our goals get like that. We have the wrong goal, misplaced priority, and therefore we take a little bite, a little bite, and a little bite, and the next thing you know, we're on a diet of Reese's peanut butter cups instead of the things we need. I hope that you have the goal of taking bites of Scripture, taking bites of spending time alone with the Lord, maybe even turning off the news a little bit. Turn it off. Let me spend time with the Lord. I want to hear from Him. Look at verse 11 of chapter 3 here. That by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. We came through this study on heaven that we've done. I think it's pretty fascinating. I have been found in Him, this is verse 9, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and share in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. And this is where the verse that I was trying to find in Judges, which I can't remember, comes to. Sometimes there's a goal-oriented thing. This man said, my people are being harassed every time they go on the road, therefore I'm going to take care of this situation. Do we have the goal that Paul said, by any means necessary, you will not detain me from knowing the Lord and participating in the resurrection? We can talk about what the world thinks and popular culture. All that aside, I have the goal of turning my face toward Christ, and nothing will detain me from that goal. And if you have that goal, it's amazing how the other things start to fall into place a little differently. If you want to succeed in the Christian life, it is not difficult, but it does require a great deal of sacrifice. Or at least we think it's sacrifice. We see things we must sacrifice along the way, and we get a little perplexed about that in the beginning. Later on, we realize, man, that meant nothing to me anyway. I've told you the story, and there again, I don't have many stories, so I can tell you the story again. But when I was a young man, there was something I wanted more than anything else in life, and I said, I will be that. Anybody else have that? I will be that. Whatever occupation or thing, I will be that. And by sheer life, there was no way for me to get to be that. It's like I laugh with Jim. You know, Jim's big and tall. And I say, you know, God never meant for me to be center of the Boston Celtics. I might have could have been point guard, but really not. You know what I mean? At least in Bill. I never can play center for the Boston Celtics. That's just not going to happen, right? And so there's a diminished capacity for me to reach that goal. So that was a bad goal. But I had some goals. I said, I can be this. And when I started to fall short and said, there's no way I can physically be that, I said, what is life? And the Lord, as low that time, He said, you know, have not fully surrendered to me. When I fully surrendered to the Lord, He started changing my priorities, changing my direction. And now I look back and say, I am so thankful that I didn't get that. Christie's that was being a fashion designer. She wanted to go to New York City to be a fashion designer. You know, she draws. You know, you've seen her drawings and all her art she does. Well, we have portfolios somewhere in the house. So you turn the pages and you see these beautiful gowns that she's drawn. Beautiful things. And she wanted to do that, but one day a girl came and knocked on her dorm door and shared, you know, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and so forth and so on. And the seed was planted, and she came to know the Lord. And Christy does everything whole hog. And when she came to Christ, she came to Christ fully and completely. It was not any of this, I'll be a Christian. You know, it was like, well, you know what? I've been in church in my life, really never heard the gospel, but I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to dive in the pool. And her dream got recalibrated, redefined, so to speak. She never went to New York. She met a scrawny kid in college, you know. He didn't have two nickels and all this kind of stuff. We've been married now for 30 years this December. If we make it to December 20th, it'll be 30 years. And we've been married, and you know the story. We had the kids and so forth and all the bliss. And somewhere a few years ago, God reignited this art fire. And she started doing artwork again. And it's amazing how God has blessed that. And now, you know, she's been president of the Art Association and so forth. And I want to say that. Sometimes when you take your sacrifice, you say, Lord, it's not my will, but yours be done. It's amazing how God sometimes recaptures things and brings it back in a new, better way later. I want to mention right in here. I want to mix the four things that Paul really was about here. He wanted to know Christ. He wanted to be right with God. He wanted to know the power of the resurrection. And he wanted spiritual fellowship with Jesus Christ. Do you want those things, or do you just want to have a little dab of Jesus? A little bit so I can be a Christian. A little bit so I can, you know, have the benefits of the family of God. Or do you really want to know the Lord? I want His presence. I can't go on without His presence. I kind of like Moses. You know, Moses, you know, I'm going to go, and the Lord said, I'll go with you. And Moses is like, you know, I wouldn't intend to go unless you went with me. I have to have your presence. And the third thing here, forget the past and move on toward the ultimate goal. So many of us, we have such a difficult time getting away from the past. So the third thing actually says here, forget the past and press toward the ultimate goal. We have a hard time getting rid of the past. Satan stands there and throws those darts, and we allow those to come. We put down the breastplate of righteousness, and those darts just start coming. You know, you never really were. Now, who do you think you are? Look at, you know what goes on in your mind. You know what you do sometimes. You know how you think. You're not real. Who do you think you are? And Satan sits there and he throws those things at us. And we must realize that the past is the past. It has been forgiven. It has been removed. The Lord remembers it against us no more. Why don't we stop remembering it against ourselves? Reconciliation is one of the most beautiful things on the face of the earth. I sometimes think God just leaves us here for our lives so we can go through places of reconciliation. Are you growing spiritually? Or maybe you're not growing spiritually the way that you had hoped. And the past binds you. Don't let the past hold you back. Don't let guilt hold you back. Let those things go. Let them burn away with yesterday. There's a case study. I won't mention it all, but you know, Joshua 1. We looked at Joshua 1. You're like, oh, fabulous passage, right? Joshua 1, you know, my servant Moses is dead. Just starts off like that. You know, so simple. And he says three times in that passage, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And here's Joshua about to take the mantle, and he's moving, and we're about to go into the promised land of the whole nine yards. And I can see Joshua there. If I were in Joshua's shoes, I would say, no way, Jose. How can anybody replace Moses? I want to replace the guy who replaces Moses. You know, I want to be the third guy, not the second guy. And I can understand that. But in Joshua chapter 1, we see in the first couple of verses that he understands the purpose of God is not really, you know, for Joshua. The purpose of God is for God to fulfill His purposes and His plan. And these people had been on this 40-year struggle. We had seen a generation pass. You know, here and there's Joshua and Caleb left, and they're ready to go to the promised land. God has a purpose for us as well. God's fulfilling His purposes. Sometimes our piece of that purpose is not always in a place of ultimate, complete bliss. But God has a purpose. Peggy went to the hospital to see her grandchild be born. Peggy was at the hospital and a heart attack came in, you know, along. That was not in the plan. But somehow, some way, God has a purpose in that. And maybe even, can we just go so far as that maybe even God had planned for Peggy to be at the hospital for the daughter being born because He knew what was going to happen there so she'd be there and be protected. Can we just sometimes say, Lord, order my steps such that I am in the place where You want me to be? A second thing in closing in this case study of Joshua had faith in the promises of God. Do you have faith in the promises of God? I mean, the simple faith. I mean, can you even stand firm on John 3:16? Sometimes we have a difficulty with that. The God, you know, He died for us. We get that. We hear this eternal life. We say it. But do we really, really, really stand there? Do we stand there? You know, knowing that God loved us and that we give ourselves to Him and we will have this eternal life. And we've studied about heaven, but sometimes even in our thinking of heaven, there's such a distance from getting from here to there, we struggle. Can you really stand those promises? And, you know, not to mention all the other promises that are in Scripture that are just fabulous. I'm for you, not against you. Is that just a promise that we see in the Old Testament? Or do you believe God is for you, not against you? You know, I really do. Sometimes I used to picture the Lord, you know, Him standing there with a club, you know, waiting for me to get out of line. Wham! And then I started picturing, and especially when you have kids, you know, baby Jay's coming tomorrow. John David and Kristen, we call him baby Jay. But Jay, you know, how old is he now?
4 months.
4 months, you know. We got a dog that's 7 months, and we got Jay that's coming. And Jay comes, and there's Jay, and he's a happy baby, you know, until he cries, you know. But here's Jay, and you hold Jay, and you have the baby, or just like a Hail Mary captain, I used to hold her. I used to could hold Benjamin. And I would hold him, and they were so sweet. And the Lord used to teach me when I had the kids. He said, you know, I love you more than you even love your own kids. And I have never one time in my life set a trap for the kids. I want to get them out of line so I can bust them. Never once have I done that. As a matter of fact, when they failed at something, you know, it breaks my heart. And we go, we reconcile, and we get it all worked out. The Lord is like that. He has the promises for us. A couple of real quick things. I know we're bumping down. Be assured of the presence of God. Verse, you know, if we go to Joshua 1, verse 5, the presence of God. This, don't overlook that. The presence of the Lord. I need your presence, Lord. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit here. Fill me. I pray for you each day by name. And one of the things I pray, fill them, Lord. Fill them with the presence of God. When you go in the voting place and you go into Publix and you go wherever you might, even when you go stand in line at Social Security or whatever you might have to do, or DMV, that's it, wherever you are, the presence of the Lord goes with me and He shines forth through me. Number four, have courage and accept God's power and God's strength. I can do none of this. I am no match for Satan. But the Holy Spirit in me makes me an overcomer. And so we need to finally pay attention in order to do exactly what God has called us to do. In verse 7 of Joshua 1, in this study about this, as we look back at the Old Testament, do not turn to the right or the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Winding roads tend to make us want to go off the beaten path. I encourage us to stay on the path. Do not look to the right or the left, but look to Jesus, the author, and I believe it says finisher of our faith. As we pray this for ourselves, who sets the agenda? We ought to pray it for our country, yes. We ought to pray it for our families, yes. And our church, yes. Let us not lose sight of being in full surrender to the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for these tremendous scriptures. We thank You for really imprinting them on our hearts and helping us to see fully that we, like Paul, sometimes rest in all that we have, maybe all that we've done. But help us also, like Paul, to see that all we've done and all we have are empty, like rags. They don't get us anywhere. But it's only by Your grace and Your mercy and Your love that You have given us the ability to have full and complete righteousness, not because of what we've done, but because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Thank You for cleansing us. Thank You for making us clean, making us whole. And I pray, as we do our part to be in full surrender to You, that we will stay on the path and let You set the agenda for our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.